Chance of rain. We're currently at 39. 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. It's Brother Johnny today, live from Houston. Johnny!
Houston, home of the Houston Astros.
All right.
How are they doing?
I don't know how the Cubs are doing.
Cubs are in last.
Yeah.
Well, then I thought the Astros were, but that's all right.
I think the Astros are next to last. Let's check with Mike Ditka today from Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Made it back from Phoenix. And Mike Ditka is still one of the busiest men in sports. Okay,
I travel a lot. I don't know if that's busy, but I travel a lot. But, it's about 105 in Phoenix.
Man, I tell you what. Okay, let's talk about the NFL draft, Mike. This was a big week. I mean, it certainly changed over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, they analyze everything. Fingernails, I mean, they go through the whole deal, don't they?
Well, you know, I think you can do too much. I mean, really, I mean, let's face it, guys. The criteria for playing football is how you play football. Usually, if you play pretty good through your early part of your career in high school and college, you usually become a pretty good player. Now, a lot of people mature later. That's different. I think what you got to look for in the draft, you know, you look at the other characteristics, character for one, intelligence for another. Those things are very important. Besides, you get a good football player, not a good character person, you got a problem. Get a good football player who can't learn, you got a problem because you have to simplify your system to fit him. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you look at, but I think all this stuff about the running and jumping and weightlifting, my goodness, I mean, if that's what this is all about, I mean, it's like a Mr. America show. I mean, there's more to it than that.
Well, I'll tell you, Stevie, Mike had, when he started down in New Orleans, we couldn't play in the NFL. We had nothing. And, Mike, that you were probably the first one to really start taking advantage of free agency because you coached for 3 years, and really we had a playoff team when you left and actually won a playoff game that next year with Mike's free agent guys. And we had Ricky Williams. As you know, that's the one guy in one draft, and I thought he had intelligence and character. He needed a little mentoring. Ricky needed some mentoring. But I thought that, Mike, you did well with the free agents that were coming up, and it's kind of, I think you had said at the time, it's turning into just a free agent league.
Well, you know, I think, John, there's a lot of ways to look at it. I think if the cupboard's bare, you got to fill the cupboard up. When I got to Chicago, the cupboard wasn't bare, but we had to put the other pieces in the puzzle. And I think that's the same thing in New Orleans. I mean, there wasn't as much there as I thought was there. And so we had to go out in free agency and get some people, and it did help us a little bit. We didn't do a good job in New Orleans, I'm sorry for that because I wish it would have been better.
Well, I thought it was pretty good character guys, though, Mike. They played hard the whole game.
And that's what I try to count. And even Ricky, of all the guys, listen, Ricky was a great kid. You know, he was a little misguided, that's all.
Right.
And he made some mistakes, you're right. He needed more mentoring. And he was a bashful kid that had a hard time accepting, really, who he became.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, Steve. You can get a pretty big player in that draft, but I don't know. I think there's a lot more to it than just you get a couple big pieces of the puzzle, as Mike says, probably. Yeah, I guess.
But I think these first two quarterbacks get it, and maybe this kid at A&M too. But these first two quarterbacks, Luck and RG3, they get it. They're good kids. They're good football players. I don't think anybody can go wrong with them. I think again, when you draft, though, you got to draft. For a couple of weeks, you got to draft by need, and then that's got to be a major part of it. If you need a quarterback, fine. If you don't, you know, you got to get what you need. If you got a pretty good quarterback, then you better get a left tackle to protect him. You better get a receiver to catch the ball, or a running back to take some pressure off him. There are a lot of things you have to do.
Yeah, is Andrew Luck hands down the guy, or is this?
He's going to be picked by the Colts. There's no question about it. Very classy, high-class individual, intelligent young man, another Peyton Manning. I say that in type of character of Peyton Manning, which I think is ideal. And I think his problem is going to be this. The cupboard is bare in Indianapolis right now. I mean, it is really bare. I mean, they got rid of everything. So they're going to have to start from scratch. Not that it can't be done, and they're going to have to build around him. But we've seen a lot of pretty good quarterbacks come in this league. And when they didn't have the surrounding cast, they weren't very good. You know, quarterback is a position you got to give him help. You got to protect him. You got to have a running game. You got to have a defense, a lot of other things. But, you know, receivers. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you got to be careful when you say, okay, we're going to put all our eggs in this basket. and this basket is broken.
Yeah, and of course, I don't know how to read the New Orleans Saints, Johnny. How do you read what's going to happen to New Orleans this year?
Well, I think if we get it something going with Drew Brees, that they can still be pretty good. I believe our defense was bad. I mean, we've had several that have been starting that are gone now. So that's where our cupboard needs a little filling up. But I think the key is still Brees. We have the offense as long as he's happy.
Yeah.
And he's got a good character too, Mike, I think. He's just trying to get this deal settled.
Well, it's a business. John, it's a business. And you're right. He's a great kid. I mean, it's a business. And so, you know, you fight for what you think you deserve. And let me say, I don't want to belabor the point, but there's no loyalty in sports. The owners aren't loyal and the players aren't loyal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to make the best deal for themselves as an organization or an individual. And once people understand that, that's okay. So, you know, you deal with it. And, you know, and there's nothing the matter with that. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's business.
Yeah.
Well, especially when your business is one that can end at any second. And you do have to think about that.
Absolutely. As a player, absolutely. One injury, you're gone.
Yeah. And, of course, the Bears, Mike, a lot of people optimistic that the Chicago Bears are going to be pretty good this year.
Well, I think the Bears will be good. I think the problem with the Bears is very simple. I think Detroit's going to be better. I think Minnesota will be better. And I know Green Bay's good.
Yeah.
So when you say sometimes you say, well, okay, the Bears are going to be better. And I really like the Bears. I like what they're doing. I think they're doing a lot of good things. But I think they're in a tough division right now. And sometimes, you know, good teams in tough divisions kind of don't always make it. So, you know, they know what they've got to do. They got to control the teams in their division. They got to beat Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota, and they'll win their division.
Is there anyone tougher? Is there a division tougher than that one?
Well, I think there's a lot of tough divisions. I don't think that's the only one. I mean, the Jets and New England, that's not a bad division. When you look at Pittsburgh and the Ravens and Cincinnati, I don't know. When you start looking at them, I don't know that there is anyone tougher than that one, I'll be honest with you.
All right, one other quick sports note. I don't know if you saw the guy from the Lakers give the elbow to the other guy yesterday. And was that Ron Artest? Is his name now World Peace? I'm so confused.
Yeah, he's World Peace.
Ron's quite the character.
You should change that name one more time. The World Jerk.
Let me tell you something. Ron's a character now. He's a piece of work. He was down here in Houston.
Is he like a Rodman on steroid? I mean, this is a wild man. I mean,
No. He the elevator never gets to the second floor with this guy. He never thinks
that might be right.
Yeah, that was some elbow yesterday. World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest. I never knew they were talking about World Peace. Who's World Peace? World Jerk. Mike said World Jerk.
No, he couldn't spell Ron Artest, so he went World Peace.
That's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. All right, let's go to the Trayvon Martin case here on Connect FM 93.5, 95.3. George Zimmerman released yesterday, also apologized. Let's listen to both sides now, the attorneys.
We have several options to where he's going to be. At least one of those are out of state. I just want to make sure that wherever we place him, he's secure. It seems as though the country has really polarized, even though we know that all the evidence isn't out. I'm concerned that there is some periphery or some extreme on my side. I'm also concerned that there are some extremes, those who may not want to listen to the facts as they come out, on behalf of the Martins. This case has sort of become a flashpoint for conversations that may need to occur, but I'm not certain that George Zimmerman should be in the crosshairs.
All right, and then the attorney for the Trayvon Martin family, they were not happy about the apology that Zimmerman issued.
It's only a day before this bond hearing that we get word he wants to apologize. We say it's not the appropriate time to do so, but yet he just disregards that. We feel now it's a little self-serving, and he has ulterior motives when he says it at his bond hearing so he can get out of jail. He had an intent there to pursue Trayvon Martin for whatever reason. Trayvon was suspicious.
Johnny, it's going to trial. That's all you can ask is a trial, but I think this is such a polarizing event. I don't think you're never going to get everybody happy on this one.
Well, no. It's not a happy subject. I don't know why it's flared up like it has, in all honesty, because it just wasn't one of your just wanton attacks or anything. It obviously disintegrated into some sort of a tussle, and one guy had a gun, and that's And it doesn't matter what kind of man, woman, child, it's liable to go off, or someone's liable to think he needs to shoot it if he got a gun. But I don't know whether it's gonna work out great, because the prosecutor, to me, is going for too much. I mean, you could probably get manslaughter, and that's a conviction, and he's got trial. But I don't know. Murder, too, I think it asks for a standard that they may not get that, and then he'll be acquitted, and then who knows. But hopefully things settle down. I like the family, I think, has been doing the country a service by saying, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And I think that's hard to do, Steve, because you can't imagine what they're going through. Yep. So we'll see.
Yep. Tough situation, Mike.
Well, it really is. And it's a shame that race has come into it, but it's a shame. And you know, the kid was probably a great kid and probably didn't deserve it. Yeah, and we don't know what happened. That's the worst part. He certainly didn't deserve to lose his life, no matter what happened.
Yeah. So, all right.
So it's going to be tough.
But this guy Zimmerman, he certainly doesn't seem like some sort of wild.
No, he's not a wild man either. I mean, that's what I said. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, and
you know, that's the worst part about it. Nobody knows really what happened except Zimmerman and Trevon. Who's not here anymore?
Yeah, and Bill Cosby pretty much said what you said, Johnny. It came down to somebody having a gun, period. I mean, that's why somebody died. Somebody was carrying a gun. Okay, Afghanistan. Apparently, we're trying to get out of Afghanistan.
There were many stumbling blocks along the way, and it almost didn't happen. But now the agreement is certainly finalized in draft form, and it addresses everything from military and security to politics to economics and also cultural aspects of dealing with the Afghans going forward. And by that, they mean everything from civics to human rights.
Okay, so this means maybe out by 2014, but Johnny, we're supposed to keep paying Afghanistan till 2024?
It's a support offering to help keep the country together, I guess. I'm pulling for them. You're just not very optimistic. They haven't had a very structured environment over there ever, really, in Afghanistan. I think,
and they never
reason.
Will, John. And
yeah,
never
I don't
will.
Think that. Well, that's why I'm trying to be a little more optimistic, but I'm afraid Mike's right. I don't
they
know
never
what
will.
They can
I mean,
do. I mean, that's one reason the terrorists go over there, because they can get away with it
too. I mean, if I was America, I'd say, listen, guys, you know, we did our best to help you, and we're going to pull out. We're going to be out of there by 2014. You're getting no more aid from us. Now, I don't. You know, people say, well, if they don't get aid from us, they get it from us. Well, fine. Then let them go bankrupt Iran instead of the United States of America. Yeah. To me, after a while, it's just tiring to me that we keep bailing out these countries in the Middle East. And these countries, they don't reward us in any way except to be with animosity. And, you know, I mean, it's not worth it. It's not really
well, here's
worth
what's,
it.
To me, almost as interesting, maybe even more interesting, Steve. What do you mean we're bailing them out? We don't even have any money.
Yeah, I know.
What exactly is it?
Whoa, I mean, whoa. Well, wait a second now. Doesn't matter that we don't have any money. We're spending it, but we don't have. You know, debt is a wonderful word unless you really understand it. And when you're in debt up to your eyeballs, you know, you got a problem. And we're getting that way.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, it's symptomatic. It's like there's no real recognition that, to me, there's a lot of talk, but there's no real recognition that we actually have a spending problem. And so we're going to bail everybody out. What's the difference? I don't know if this can work, but eventually we're going to have to slow down in the money we're spending, or there'll be a change of some kind. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it is, John, and that is one solution to slow down spending. The other solution is overtax. And we know what's going to come out of this. Going to be the overtaxing thing, because well, we have a forbid, we can't stop spending now. We got all these programs initiated, and you look at the programs have no value, really don't. They don't really do a lot for human beings, and all they do is sit there with people who take a salary. And then we look at what's happened in the Secret Service. This is a tragedy, really, guys. This is embarrassing to have these kind of people that understand that's their obligation and job is to protect our top officials in our country, and they have actions like that. That's stupid. But men are men.
Well, too, I think if you listen to the president, Mike, all we have to do to fix this is for everybody to pay their fair share, right?
That's true, and he's right about that. But everybody, and a key word in there is everybody, everybody's fair share. If you don't make money, you can't pay tax. If you make a little bit of money, you pay a little bit of taxes. If you make more money, you pay more tax. If you make a lot of money, which he wants is a 30% tax, that's fine. For those people, that's fine. Most people aren't going to say, hey, but when you're done paying state taxes, your city taxes, income taxes, it's not 30%. It's 50%.
No. Well, and then the other end of the spectrum is a fair share zero, because I think that's an unfair share.
It is an unfair share. There's no question about it, John.
Here's the problem, Steve. The math just doesn't work. If you look at even increasing taxes, with the guys and the rate of spending, it's just not going to work. There's no propensity whatsoever to really cut. We've talked about that. And in about 15 years, all the money everybody makes will equal the federal budget if they keep increasing it like they have been.
Wait. We don't even have a budget.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
Right. We haven't passed the budget yet. They're waiting.
We don't have a budget.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. How can you operate your house without a budget or your business, John? You can't do it.
Now, that just makes me mad. When I think of Harry Reid, and he's required by law, and we're paying him, and he's just not doing, he's flaunting it. And then people all over the country are on trial and are actually going to jail because they broke the law. But not Harry. He just does whatever he wants. That just irks me. This is absolutely the antithesis of America.
You talk about your
1%er,
yeah.
Harry Reid.
I don't know how he's doing that. I don't know where's the outrage.
Well, it speaks to one of the main problems in this country are our elected officials, and the people we elect to office are not really the kind of people that really represent the people. And they get there and they represent themselves and their own selfish interests. Harry Reid's one of these people. There's no question about it. But I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you guys have businesses. I have a restaurant, and I wouldn't want Harry Reid running anything I had. Believe me.
Well, I don't quite understand. If it would have been, if this was Bob Dole, a Republican running the Senate, don't you think there'd be enormous pressure?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the rule. I guess they're immune from prosecution as senator. I don't know what the law, which is we have to have a budget, means if you can't do anything if you don't produce one.
Yeah,
I guess they're really, it's not really a law.
That I don't know. That's fun.
We'll have to do some research on that one, Steve.
Yeah, because they have not passed one in 3 years, so it must not be too bad of a...
For the overt reason that they don't want to pass a budget nobody likes because they may not get elected.
Yeah, right. Speaking of that, Medicare Advantage is a program that's going to take a hit under Obamacare. And this year, the Obama administration has allocated $8.3 billion to offset the hits this year. The General Accounting Office, which is a nonpartisan office, has suggested that this is a political move and isn't right. And so that's now being discussed. The Obama administration says, wait a minute, this $8.3 billion will get us more and better care. How could you not want that? And yet the other side and even this nonpartisan office is saying this is totally to prevent the hits this year so that the older people will elect you.
Next year, no question about it.
I mean, hey, listen, nobody said politics is good. You're honest, right? I mean, it is what it is. You have people that would do anything to stay in office, and even people who realize that they're not doing a good job. And you got to really be honest. If this administration really looks in the mirror and says, I'm doing a good job, they really are fools. Believe me, they're liars, because it can't be. I mean, you can't keep going back and keep blaming it on Bush. Oh, we inherited a tough situation. We had our bad situation, and we thought we could make it better faster. But it was a lot tougher than we thought. And now what they've done is they've just put us in such a bigger ditch, and we may never get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think that it's not my fault is a very good strategy anyway, and because he volunteered to fix everything.
Right.
That's what he wanted to do.
Not only volunteer, John, change.
Yeah.
And one thing I always said was change from what to what. Be careful what you change.
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, that's right. All right, and one in two college graduates, Johnny, one out of two college graduates this next month will be unemployed. One out of two.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'll tell you, that's not a very good indicator.
Mm.
What caused that, old John? I mean, you would think that, I mean, I can understand that people that aren't qualified or have college degrees, why they might not have a job, but it seems to me that companies would be looking for college graduates, wouldn't they?
Well, sure, but there's obviously a lack of confidence. There's just a lack of business right now that would support...
A lack of confidence in the business to hire people, right?
Yeah. And those are the ones you want, too, Steve. They're energetic. You don't have to pay as much as a guy who's been around 10 years, God bless them, but you can train them. We hire a lot of college graduates, but this year we're not going to hire as many because we're not growing as fast.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's just part of what the effect of a slower economy is. So,
well, wait a minute now. We're hearing all kinds of stuff like, oh, things are heating up. Is that political?
Well, it's political, but maybe they're getting a little bit better, but I can't tell because it's such a Ponzi scheme or whatever you call a shell game's more like it with these numbers. Can you believe the numbers?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
What's really happening? It's hard to tell. It might be getting a little bit better, but that college graduate number, if that's right, bodes poorly for the economy.
And they're saying, you know, what degrees are worthless and what degrees have value, and certainly a specific discipline like engineering usually is a pretty good one, but guys coming out with history degrees and these other things, it's hard to find stuff.
Well, but like college graduates because they've gone through this process and they're a little older, and that sometimes the degree, you can get an employer that'll say, well, he's got a degree in psychology, maybe he can figure out what I'm doing. So,
well, guys, you're going to leave it there. We'll be able to talk on day two of the NFL draft, which will be this Friday, but we'll get back together. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, always a pleasure,
all
gentlemen.
Right, you take care. God bless you.
And bless you.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You betcha. Brother Johnny in Houston, Mike Ditka from Chicago, Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8. The only radio show Mike Ditka does where he talks about other things other than sports. Great to have him on.